Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 27th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Matt Wilson. Matt and his wife Sarah and their two precious children, Ellis and Griff, are a part of the fellowship here at Mountain Brook Baptist. After Matt reads for us, we'll sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Matt, for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Our first passage is 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he's considered me trustworthy and appointed me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord is poured out upon me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our next passage is Luke 9, 1 through 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, "Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them." So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about what was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, "I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about?" And then he tried to see him. Our proverb for today, Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring."
Thank you so much, Matt, for joining the podcast, for reading so well for us today. We want to know more about you. Did you grow up in Birmingham?
Hey, Mary, thanks for having me today. Actually, no. I grew up in a small town northeast of Huntsville called New Market, Alabama. Very small town. When I lived there, probably 1,200 people. You'd probably know it by Buckhorn High School.
Yes. Tell me about your upbringing.
Yeah. So grew up very small town, went to Buckhorn High School, you know, matriculated through that, graduated, went to junior college in Huntsville, decided that I couldn't stay in my hometown anymore and moved here to Birmingham to finish my studies at UAB. So I've got an undergraduate and a master's degree from UAB in healthcare and technology.
And did you meet Sarah, your wife, at UAB?
Actually, no. She was in law school at Samford, and she was also doing a master's in public administration at UAB while I was in grad school at UAB. And we met on Match.com, believe it or not.
Sounds like you both are very intelligent people. What was your first date like?
Our first date, we just went to dinner in Mountain Brook Village. Little did I know, her best friend was at the same restaurant that night. I don't know if that
on
was
purpose?
Planned. I'm not sure.
And you have two beautiful children.
Yeah, so Sarah and I got married in 2017 at lovely Lake Martin. Our daughter was born in 2021. She's now 4 years old, Ellis. And our son was born in 2022, Griff. He's now 2.5.
They are so precious, and I have loved getting to know them. What are some of your hobbies and interests?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, I'm very disciplined in going to the gym. I've built that into my routine. I am a computer nerd at heart. I have tinkered around with smart computers and little devices for multiple years.
Have you ever built a computer?
I have built what they call a microcomputer. Maybe some of those in the podcast might know what Raspberry Pis are. We can talk about that
later. I have no clue. Okay, I interrupted you. What was your third hobby?
Just as a family. I mean, we enjoy being outside. We live right next to a walking trail. It's the summertime, so we're outdoors going swimming, you know, riding scooters and bicycles and just having a good time.
After UAB, did you immediately launch into a career?
Yeah, so worked at UAB while I was in grad school there. I was in finance. I stayed in finance at UAB for probably 4 or 5 years. And then I went into consulting, medical consulting. I traveled kind of all over the country and looked at process improvement opportunities in hospitals and physician practices, and ended up really in the technology space in healthcare, helping hospitals and healthcare systems implement new electronic medical records. So I did that for, gosh, seems like a long time, probably 8-10 years.
So do you still work in that industry? I've heard that you've made some AI equipment that's going to help people with their lawnmowers. I want to hear more about this.
Yeah, so I do still do the technology consulting work. That's kind of what pays the bills, right? But, you know, as I've been tinkering in my hobbies with these smart devices and microcomputers, and as I mentioned before, I found myself during the pandemic looking out my window and asking how people log the hours on outdoor lawn equipment, so backpack blowers, lawn mowers, et cetera. And I invented a solution on how to do that automatically. So we've invented a device that integrates into these pieces of equipment, and it just grabs all the data about the machine, and we use machine learning to predict failure for those machines and automatically alert when those machines may need service.
Maintenance and things like that.
Exactly.
I don't know that I've ever had an inventor on the podcast. Thanks for coming.
Well, you know, I wouldn't consider myself an inventor. I would consider myself an innovator.
I like that term, innovator.
I think my whole life I've always looked at stuff and like, oh, how can we fix that?
Let's move into questions about faith. How did you come to faith? Or maybe a better question is, what has your journey with the Lord been like?
Well, as most people, I'm sure, my journey has not been linear. Marked with questions, regrets, sessions of doubt, eventually breakthroughs, and then back into the same rut of questions, doubts, breakthroughs, questions, doubts, breakthroughs, right? My first experience of the faith started at a very young age. My maternal grandmother, steadfast in her faith every morning, starting with devotionals. I'd see her there eating my cereal. She's over there praying. So it really instilled this foundation in me that I could never really understand. So growing up, was kind of always in that faith. She passed away when I was 8 years old and kind of left not just a gap in our family, but also a gap in foundation of faith. So I went chasing faith. I went to church, I joined the youth, I got in close with the youth minister and started leading groups, going on mission trips, been on several mission trips here in the U.S. as well as in Mexico, partnering with other Baptist churches around, and really through that experience thought that I was on the right path, you know. And then challenges of teenage years happen and question God about, why are you doing these things to me? And, you know, then you go back to church looking for answers, and then you're in your head, you know, the whole back and forth.
I do.
And then, you know, as an adult, seeking clarity and solace from things outside of the Lord, you know, and that runs down a whole nother path. Still involved in the church, still going to church, still going through the motions, still involved in Easter and still doing, you know, communion and doing Sunday service and all those things. But, you know, there's always this burning desire and like, where are you, Lord? You know, I'm doing all the things. Where are you? And then a couple of years ago, just some things happened in my life that I had trouble accepting. And the people in my life that these things were happening to just found this grace that I did not understand. And then watching these people go through these things just made me feel even more disconnected from God than I'd ever been. So watching these scenarios play out and, you know, this people going through these things, I'm just like, wow, Lord, like you're there for them. And I think through that, I realized that everything that has led me to this point and all the trials and tribulations and everything that I've gone through, looking back on it, is like, God was there the whole time. He was there the whole time and he made the decision for me. And I'm only in this place now because he was there then. Hmm. So having this experience and the scenarios in my life and these people going through these things and always depending on God and always having that such strong faith and knowing that he's going to take care of them and them being patient through everything, it just, God hit me on that. And it's like, if they can do it and God's with them, then why am I fighting? Why am I fighting God? Just give it to him. And I think through that, I've been able to kind of just step outside of myself and really allow God to take full force and create the discipline that I need to support my family and all the things that go into that.
Was there a specific moment of surrender where you had to say, okay, Lord, you take it? Or was it just a gradual
thing? I think day by day I say it. I mean, as I go throughout my day and things happen, I have to stop in the moment and say, Lord, this is out of my control and I'm giving it to you and hoping for the best. My faith isn't built on ritual or traditions as it has been. It's built on redemption in Jesus Christ. And I now know that. Jesus met me when I was at my lowest through experiences outside of my control and showed me a love that didn't flinch. So basically using other people to witness to me without them even knowing that they're witnessing to me.
Just through their lives.
Exactly right.
As they were responding to adversity.
Correct. Yeah.
And God used that to show you his redemption.
Phenomenal.
It's amazing. It's a wonderful story of his nearness to us in the midst of everyday life.
Well, like in 1 Timothy 15, Christ came into the world to save sinners, who I'm the worst.
I think we can all identify with that text. As Paul is saying that, I think, no, Lord, me too.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a favorite verse or devotional practice that you come back to?
So I do have a daily devotional, and it's listening to you, Mary.
Aww.
I switched between this podcast as well as Tim Keller's podcast, just to get a different flavor.
I like Tim Keller's podcast, too.
Yeah. Perfect.
I love listening to his sermons. Now, give us a scenario. Where are you? You've told me before where you like to listen.
So I'm an early riser. I get up around 3:45. I'm at the gym by 4:00. And around probably 6:00, I get on a massage chair and I just lay there and either have the Project 119 podcast on or Tim Keller and do my listening. And then afterwards, I'll do a quick devotional in prayer before I go home and get the kids up.
And ready to go for the day.
Or they're probably awake already.
You and Wayne are very similar in that regard. He gets up very early as well.
Yeah, I think I knew that. We had a conversation about kind of his schedule as well. So he said he was going to meet me at the gym one day, but I haven't seen him do that yet.
He makes our backyard a gym and he goes over to the high school. But enough about that. Let's talk about a sweet moment with your children where you were integrating faith and just how you saw the Lord at work.
I think a lot of times, I mean, here at church, obviously there's times they go up and down the aisle, but I think one thing that hits for me is when they were walking out of church, we're going to church and my daughter's starting to realize who Jesus is now, she's 4, and she grabbed Griff's hand and said, come on, Bubba, we're going to go see Jesus.
Oh.
And it's just like solidifies, like we're raising them right and, you know, bringing them into the body of faith and the community of faith and knowing that we have that community. And
may it be, Lord, that Mountain Brook Baptist is a place where children come, where all of us come to meet Jesus. You are a new member here. How did you get connected? And then where do you see yourself serving in the future?
Yeah, so my wife and I have been visiting other churches here in Birmingham since we moved back from Chicago. And we have cousins that go here, the Cries, Kristen and Walter and their children. They invited us last year sometime, and we started visiting and found ourselves a home here. So really enjoyed it. We've ingrained our kids into the children's ministry.
I love seeing Ellis come up, especially when we were in the gym and she would have her donut in hand. Just so precious.
Yeah, Griff is starting to get to the point that he's enjoying his donuts now, too.
Okay.
So that's a thing on how we get out, helps to get out the door on Sunday mornings.
That's right. We don't have to worry about breakfast. Well, it's taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not exactly the healthiest breakfast. Sugar. Okay, where do you see yourself serving?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I mentioned, I grew up in the youth and by vacation Bible school and doing mission work. I've always really enjoyed that work. And I think even as an adult, I want to be able to witness to, you know, those children and these youth and let them see that there's a body of Christ here that's going to help them and support them throughout, not just their adolescence, but their early adulthood into their adulthood. As you've heard my story, there's trials and tribulations along the way, and having those people in your life are pivotal. So I would love to get with Joel and others and see where there's some fit for me to serve in that capacity. One thing about me is I am a connector. I love to bring people together to achieve a common goal. Whether that be in my work life, in my consulting world, or in my startup world, or in the church, or in my social settings, my strength is just bringing people together to either solve a common purpose or to bring people together to just have a good time. So whether that involves, you know, going on mission trips or vacation Bible school and serving in that capacity, or bringing teams together to solve, you know, some technology challenge.
Also, you're in a community of like-minded people in your Sunday school class. It's Rooted, correct?
That's right. That's right. My wife and I attend that class every Sunday. Right now, we're on wisdom and how we can learn to be more wise in our ways and follow the Lord. So a couple of things that I'm working on is stop and think about what you say and make sure that these are the words that God needs to come out of your mouth before you say it. So in this stage of wisdom through our Rooted class, you know, that's one thing that hits home for me that I'm continuously working on.
Would you like to make any commentary on any of the passages?
Yeah, our proverb from today, 27:1, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. It hits home for me every time I read it. We live in such a world of constant planning, forecasting. Everyone's running 1,000 miles an hour. But God calls us to live faithfully today. That's the kind of promise I've clung to, especially in seasons where the path was dark and the answers weren't clear. God doesn't promise ease, but he does promise hope, and hope is enough.
Do you have a favorite verse of scripture?
Yes, I do. Job 11:16-18. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water has gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. If there's one attribute about God that I hold on to most, it's his patience. He never rushed me. He didn't give up on me. He waited. He pursued. And when I finally turned towards him, I realized he'd been there the whole time.
What a moving testimony that the Lord is patient with us, and we can hope in him, because with him is abounding love, and with him is full redemption. Matt, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today, and I wonder if you would end our time together with prayer.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to be on this podcast. Thank you for your word, alive, true, and full of grace. Thank you for being the kind of God who sees us at our worst and still chooses to redeem us. Thank you for your patience, for your promises, and for your continued presence. I pray for every listener today, whether in the season of joy or struggle, that they would feel seen by you. Help us to live today fully in today, trusting you with tomorrow. Make us faithful in the little things, generous with grace, and rooted in your love. In Jesus' name, amen.